Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host, and we welcome you to the show. This is Thanksgiving Day, and I am very thankful. I'm grateful for all the gifts of life. This is November the 27th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169, and press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. We would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. And it makes the show go a lot faster and smoother when you're asking questions and we're providing answers. And as of right now, it's Michael and I and two other people that are either in the chat room or on the switchboard. I guess everybody is having their Thanksgiving lunch and preparing for their family. So we wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. It's a cloudy day here in Bristol, Tennessee. We got some snow last night, so it was really pretty to wake up and see that white stuff. And we'll be on the road tomorrow heading south, so hopefully that'll be the last time we'll get to see it this year. And other than that, we're having a lonely day today, are we, honey? We're everybody's busy, but anyway, we are delighted to be talking to who we're speaking with, and everybody that chooses to join us is always most welcome, and we are most appreciative of, to be here. And this being Thanksgiving Day, we wish to each of you happy, happy holy days. It's kind of the beginning of that holy day season. It's interesting how we've, you know, messed up the words, and now it's holidays, and it's about money and things and stuff. And instead of spending time getting in touch with our wholeness, and really functioning truly as human beings. I went looking for a quote today, one that I recalled from Meister Eckhart, so that I had it exact, and the whole idea of appreciation. And what Meister Eckhart says, he's a German philosopher back in the 1800s, says the only prayer you ever need to say in your entire life is thank you. It will be enough. And of course, we know that the word prayer is not accurate when it's interpreted as some words that you say, but rather that prayer is really truly being the space of a human life, really truly being in that connected space of love and living out of that space. And that's what we're here to support. And so we know that prayer isn't about mumbling words and putting our order into the cosmic gift catalog, but certainly having that that space of appreciation is a big key in the process of living a true human life. I think it's one of the human attributes that comes into awareness with the active presence of human life. And, of course, that's our whole purpose here, is to recognize what human life is and just how awesome it is that you and I get to live a human life, that at this time and in all of eternity, that here we are in this exciting space called Earth, where there's all kinds of insanity going on, but also so many awesome and wondrous and wonderful things, things to be appreciated. And if we could get more people's minds to turn to what is appreciated rather than finding excuses for why there's something wrong in the world and something wrong in their lives. We did a workshop in Cincinnati a couple of weeks ago at a medical doctor's office, a friend of ours, Lenny Macharette, who's an awesome alternative medical practitioner there. And there were some women who were at the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, and afterward were complaining about their lot in life because of a certain category that they happened to be in. And it was interesting to just listen to all the arguments they had for why they were limited, why there was something wrong with the world that kept them locked out of a life of joy and aliveness, when the truth is the only thing that ever locks us out of joy and aliveness is our own minds. And in fact, another quote that I found from Meister Eckhart as I was looking for that one on appreciation was, when you are thwarted, it is your own attitude that is out of order. The responsibility always comes back to us. It's a great line in Richard Bach's book, Illusions, where he says, argue for your limitations and they're yours. And these two ladies were talking with Jeannie and I and with Dr. Macharette after the workshop, and they were just really committed to how their lot in life was a traumatic one. And, you know, it was all everybody else's fault. They had nothing to do with it. And certainly there are some insane circumstances and insane things that happen in our world. And yet there are those who...
You have gone mute. You went, Michael, your voice all of a sudden went muted, like you went away from your phone or your speaker.
No, I'm just right here, same place, same station. Can you hear me?
Right there is very clear.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I'll stay right here. So in any event, as these ladies were arguing for their limitation, it just came clear to me one more time that we have a choice, and we're here to empower and support you in having a choice to live as this awesome active presence of love, even when the external circumstances seem to demand, according to our culture, demand something totally and completely different. And of course, what our culture demands is what our culture believes, whatever is obvious in the culture. And sometimes what's obvious is nothing but a brainwash, and it cuts us out of appreciation if we buy that brainwash. It cuts us out of appreciation for what we have. And it's interesting how words have the impact of doing that. When we buy the meanings, when we start to garner the idea of the meaning of a particular word of limitation, that we can inset that limitation into our minds and hold ourselves out of possibilities. When minds are structured and programmed with how it can't be done, and it's interesting, people who stand around saying it can't be done while they're watching others do it. There'll be people who will buy a certain limitation while others with precisely the same limitation and 10 times more are doing it. What is the real truth of the game? The truth is that we argue for our limitations and we're stuck with them and they belong to us. There's a particular gentleman, Jeannie, maybe you'd share the story and where the link is on the website, a gentleman, you know, who's a minister who has no legs. In fact, it may be both arms and legs. I don't remember, but he's out there changing the world, even though he has these physical limitations that would lay most people down. Do you remember who I'm speaking of, Jeannie?
Yes, I'm actually linked to his website. It's called Life Without Limbs. And he was born without arms or legs. And his name is Nick, N-I-C-K. His last name, I can't pronounce. It's V-U-J-I-C-I-C. Vajicic. I don't know. Anyway, yes, he's phenomenal. And he tours all over the world. And very attractive gentleman. And he now has a wife and a child, but he has no arms or legs. And he talks about, you know, how you just, if you fall down, you have to get back up. And he's amazing. His website's www.lifewithoutlimbs.org.
Pretty inspirational. So is there anything happening in the chat room? Do we have anybody having a conversation there that we could be saying hello to? I suspect that perhaps Peacemaker is there, although being Thanksgiving, he may not, and I'm certainly appreciative of the fact Peacemaker is well and still with us after the physical challenges he had earlier this year, and that he came through with flying colors and is doing well.
No, there's actually just Angela in Alaska and myself in the chat room, and happy Thanksgiving, Angela. And then there's you and I and three other people on the switchboard. So I'd say everybody is getting ready to do their Thanksgiving dinner today. So it's really quiet on this home front.
Oh, well, and we'll say hello to Angela. And Angela's left Alaska now, hasn't she? Isn't she now in Seattle area?
I talked to her yesterday, and she had gone to Seattle to do the closing on her house, and there was some issues with the house, and so it didn't go through. So she's actually going through a healing crisis back in Alaska. Hope you're feeling a little better, Angela, than you were yesterday. And she said she feels like she's starting over at square one, but it will happen when it's meant to happen. So she's house hunting again.
Well, we'll hold the space that if that particular house is to be yours, that it reopens, whatever the challenge was, that it dissolves and disappears, and or maybe there's just a much, much better space and a much, much better price just waiting for you to find it, and we'll hold it that it will be perfect when you do find it, and that your transition to Seattle will be an easy one. And beyond that, oh dear, if we've only got three people, we've got a pretty private conversation going today. So if you've got a question for us, we invite you to put your hand up, push one if you're on the phone, and ask your question. We'd love to hear from you. What's on your mind today? How can we support you? What's happening? What are you appreciative of? You know, push one and just share something that you're appreciating in your world, and or maybe some talent that you've got that we could just hold the space for and support you with today.
We had a hand go up. Area code 541, you're on the air. Is this Julie?
Well, I bet that's Julie from Ashland, Oregon.
Yeah.
We're thankful for you.
Oh, thank you. That's always nice to hear. Thank you. I feel the same about you. Wow. Well,
awesome.
Today I am not cooking. Let's see. I got speaker. Okay, this might be better. I decided or chose to actually take the day off because I do so much cooking all the time anyway, kind of as a comfort and distraction and addiction. So I'm only making pumpkin pie.
You mean a way to avoid doing worksheets?
Yes.
Well, then you've got all kinds of
space
to make worksheets. That's awesome.
I know. So, yeah, today that's one thing I'm thankful for is the worksheets. And the amazing light that they bring to my life. And, gosh, there's so much. I did have a question on the other show that I was on a couple of days ago at the end. And you were talking about the law of attraction briefly. You just mentioned that something was a result of the law of attraction. And it sort of, it triggered in me a question of, well, what's the difference between the law of attraction and the law of resonance? Or how would
Nothing.
You language it? Yeah.
Nothing. It's the same thing. The only
okay.
thing is that what I observe when people go into calling it the law of attraction, I rarely speak about that, but when I hear people talking about the law of attraction, what I oftentimes hear is that it becomes the law of distraction, because oftentimes this idea of the law of attraction becomes, well, here's how you get your stuff. Here's how you get the big fancy house. here's how you get the big bank account and the big car and more stuff. And that becomes a distraction to the real work of here's how you live a human life. And so my favorite phrase about the law of attraction is that the law of attraction, in my experience, is for most people the law of distraction. It's a way to keep, and like you said, I use cooking to avoid my life. And people use the pursuit of things to stop from just sitting still, you know, and being in that place of connectedness and of love. And as they sit in that contemplative mode, receiving and bringing forward that which they are to express in the world. You know, so much time for so many people is spent in mindless pursuit of mindless things, and where there's never space for even a silent moment. And to really look at the real purpose that we're here and to bring forward. I've been thinking the last few days about the component of the beatitude that traditionally is translated as blessed are they who are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God, or they shall be called the children of God. And there's a piece in that particular beatitude where what it says to qualify as the expression of or the offspring of love of the Creator is that we need to be in service. Those who, through service, bring about the peace and understanding under and in accord with love's will, they will be called the offspring of love. And this world has set up so many distractions for people that the mindless, endless pursuit of entertainment, you know, you go into a restaurant and there are five televisions going and there are two different sources of music and 100 conversations, and it's beautifully made for a distracted, non-being life. And, you know, my take is the reason why most people don't stop and actually look inside is because they're terrified about what they'll find there. And in many cases, what they're going to find is a lot of trauma that they've never wanted to deal with, that they've never wanted to resolve. And so they're in continuous pursuit of the next distraction. And that law of attraction, I think, has become that for many.
Oh,
how does that fit with your experience of it? How does that fit with your experience of it,
Oh, I thought I was off mute. Okay. Yeah, I like that. And I was also thinking about that sometimes when we pray, or always when we pray, this is something I learned from Dale Allen Hoffman, that, you know, we are really, truly always praying. I think I learned it from you, too, teacher and disciple, that we are praying in entirety. And so there's the whole entirety of what we're praying. It's not just that little distractive excerpt that, you know, we think we want. And so when we learn to really be all-encompassing with our prayer, that's where the all-encompassing healing comes from. So in the resonance, you know, to bring up the laws of resonance with that is like, well, there's just that truth that's there of what is resonating. So what we choose to focus with is where our experience will be. And if we don't like it, if it's unlike love, that's where we start to operate with the worksheet so as to change our experience. So that's what I was kind of wondering, the difference. The slight difference of the all-encompassing nature of the laws of resonance versus that little extract or excerpt of what we think we want. It's a delusion to think that we're only praying for what we want.
Yes. Yeah, and again, we've been given a false under, understanding and interpretation of prayer, and it has nothing to do with putting our order into the cosmic gift catalog. It just is not what prayer is about. That's a petition, and, you know, if there's something you want, there's nothing wrong with petitioning the Creator. Petitioning the source of everything in the universe, there's nothing out of place with that. Although, if you go back to Yeshua, who seems to be a pretty good expert on the topic, he says, don't bother. I've already sent you. You've already got everything you need right there in front of you. If you'll just notice it and utilize it for your highest good, then you'll find that what you're facing is exactly what you need. For instance, these two ladies that I was telling you about that were up in Dr. Masharet's office, and they were explaining why they were limited in the world. And they had exactly what they needed when they had just sat through a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop and acquired the forgiveness tool. So they had exactly what they needed in order to overcome the limitation that they held in their minds that the culture was the reason for their, you know, their downfall. And they were in exactly the right position to deal with that. But their asking was for something else. Well, no, I want somebody outside of me to change so that I can get what I want. And, you know, it's just it's just interesting to watch how all that comes together and the truth about what we're really capable of as true human beings. And so if we'll look at the circumstance that we've got through the eyes of our human lives, through the eyes of the active presence of love, if we'll appreciate the circumstance that we have, then that circumstance will give us a gift. It will open a space in us. And then the prayer, when they said to Yeshua, you know, teach us to pray, they weren't saying teach us a set of words to express. They were saying, how do I live as this awesome active space of love that I'm designed for? How do I bring myself into alignment with that? And that's really the truth about prayer.
Michael,
yeah.
I'm just feeling so much gratitude also for having learned from you how my mind works and that it's a gift and it's a tool in and of itself for me to use and design my life with, but not let it dictate evidentially, you know, my life. So that's another aspect of what you're saying. It frees me up to be the being that I am.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay, that's what we're here for.
Yeah. Well, if there's anyone else that may want in on the dialogue here, I'll just go ahead and step aside and be blessed and extend blessings.
Well, we'll join you in that blessing. Delighted to have you on the team. And we look forward to the next time we get face-to-face. And our call-in number is 646-200-4169. 646-200-4169 is our call-in number.
And we have a hand up.
Okay.
Before I turn that caller on, I will say Angel said in the chat room that she found out that the foundation was not good in that house, so she's really glad that that didn't go through, but she does have to start over looking for another place, and that she's more conscious of her goals, one of which is to get to Seattle and start up a Mindshifter support group, that it's really challenging doing her work when she's in isolation like she is in Alaska. So we hold the space for all that to fall in place, Angela.
So, Angela, I would support you canceling the goal to be in community. You know, if the conversations about how isolation is where my challenge is, and I have a goal to be in community or in relationship with those who can support me and such, then that's going to create a stress. And, you know, if stress is your number one issue and the place where you've got work to do, then starting there to cancel that goal might be a good starting place. I know you put a lot of effort into making the move to Seattle, and I haven't been privy to the whole conversation, but it sounds like a big part of it has been to get to a place where you can create a greater community and or be part of a greater community. And so that might be the first goal to cancel and clear the stress out around that one.
Right. Okay, our first caller, we have two hands up now. Our first caller is area code 910. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Is it me, Jeannie?
It is you, and we are thankful for you.
Thank you, Jeannie. I'm thankful for you, too, and I'm thankful for this work. I'm thankful for Michael being willing to do this for a long, long time and to present this work so that it's here for me now to do my worksheets and to support others. I'm really, really grateful. I've got another call coming in, so I'm going to send it to voicemail. But I wanted to call in. I had just called in. Jeannie, thank you for the text. It actually helped me when you texted me to remember that the radio show was on. I was on my way to my friend's house for Thanksgiving, and I wanted to be on at 1 o'clock because I have a question, Michael. Is there a topic that I need to know about other than gratitude?
No. I think that your expression of gratitude is appreciated, and, I'm grateful for about 11 o'clock last night, Jeannie was sitting at the computer getting those evaluations off to you, and the commitment that she has to support and bring this forward into the world is monumental as well.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Jeannie, it is. Jeannie, thank you for that, and I got that evaluation that I did after I did. I did it at 11:30 last night. Michael, you know my bedtime is like 9. And I was thinking, I was so determined to do that. I said, I've got to get this through. I know Jeannie is waiting on this. So I went ahead and done that last night, and I was thinking, I was awake till after midnight just laying in bed, and finally I got up. You'll be proud of me. Both of you will. Got up and got that mind goal management sheet, canceled all my goals, and filled out 4 goals for today, and I framed them. And then I lay down and went to sleep, and I slept so well after that. But it was like, just get up and go get that sheet, because it was a lot running in my mind that I needed to do, and canceling those really was a big help. And Jeannie sending me the text last night that mine didn't go through first, the one I did, so I did it again. And hopefully you got that one. But the question that I have,
I did,
Michael,
thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie. Thank you so much for all you do. I was going to call you, and please, I hope this isn't something I should or shouldn't say, but I was going to call you Saint Jeannie because you are a saint to do everything that you do. I was actually going over it in my mind there by myself out loud, saying, oh, my goodness, it's like bringing home the bacon and frying it up in the pan and doing it all. It's like, wow. So
Actually, it's the kids. We don't bring home bacon anymore.
maybe I need to, hey, I'll tell you, you're going to be so happy. I just opened my Vitamix this morning and made my first, I'll say it was a smoothie of some sort. I'm looking for any kind of wisdom around that. I've got my recipes book out, but it was really exciting. So, and you know what I heard, the thought that went through my head? This is a new life. Because I had a lot of things going on in my head, like you should send it back, you can't afford this, those were the thoughts I need to take to my worksheets. And then I heard, keep this. This is the beginning of a new life. And I was like, whoa, that's awesome. On Thanksgiving, what a day to be
Saturday.
Grateful.
We'll be there Saturday to make smoothies with you. That's great. That's cool.
That's fantastic. I'm happy. That's great. Okay, now my question, Michael. What we had our last group, session 8, was a conversation challenge with the blockage of truth, including myself. It's my number one, I believe, this time, again.
Oh, really?
and we were talking about, the mind shifters on the evaluation is I see truth, or truth is easy, and all this kind of stuff. And everybody that was in blockage of truth, the truth to them was like, yes, truth is very easy because we don't know it. but we don't know. Our mind is telling us that we do know it, that we are totally clear about the truth, because we're blocking it so well. And we were thinking, is there another mind shifter that we could maybe have that would help us to do some work around blockage of truth? It's like, I don't know what it would be. Of course, I'm blocked. Do you follow me?
I do follow you. Is there a particular arena? You know, it's always interesting to watch how a group, like, for instance, an intensive comes together and how there's usually a particular theme that develops. So with your group that you've been working with the last 8 weeks, is there a particular theme that's developed around this idea of truth?
I don't know, Michael. I'm the leader, and I'm in blockage of truth. I will say for myself, I don't know about the group, but for myself, I can see many areas. I blocked my truth that there's anything to fear, thinking that if I don't acknowledge it, it will not be there. I'll pour that optimism over top of a cow patty, you know what I'm talking about? Bison. And also, I think I have blockage of truth around finances, where I use the belief that everything will be provided for, it's in divine timing, that Ruka's totally taking care of me, and then I am spend and justify what I do around that. So I think I have blockage of truth around that, blockage of truth around my relationships with my children. Today, you know, around Thanksgiving, I find it, I have avoided going to eat with other families to avoid looking at the pain that there's, my family's not here. The family that I always, as a kid, wanted, that wasn't there then and appears to not be here. And then when someone invites me to their home to join their family, of course, I refuse that offer and usually spend the day hunkered down doing something else and making up a story in my head that I'd rather go fishing or I'd rather do this or this or get busy cleaning or actually take a job. I know I cleaned one day on Christmas Day to avoid feeling what it was like to I celebrate with the family, my children, but it's usually a couple of weeks before or a couple of weeks after the holiday. Their father gets the day or his mother gets the day on with both my children, and it's always been that way. So that's blockage of truth for me in a way. I look at it, but I only look at it out of the corner of my eye. Like, I don't want to see it. And I won't watch the news. You know that question on the evaluation about does something upset you? And I'm like, not if you don't look at it. So it doesn't apply to me. I don't watch the news.
If I'm not looking at it out of the belief that it's going to upset me, then I'm kind of like a cat chasing its tail. I'm sort of stuck in a loop.
Michael, I am a preacher of exactly that, looking at it, telling people how you go to the movie theater and carry your worksheets with you and frame them, and I talk a good talk. But I can see that my blockage of truth is, even with the 10 or 15 worksheets a day that I sometimes do, I still have blockage of truth, and the evaluation is very clear that that's true. And I am willing to do the work around that. And as I was just thinking, I really think I've got plenty to do worksheets on just by talking to you. Maybe that's what I needed to do, was just talk.
There you go. So I would suggest that a good mind shifter might be, it's safe and healing for me to look at the truth of the situations where I tend to avoid.
Okay.
It's safe and healing for me to look at the truth of the situations where I tend to avoid. And then I move into full communication about those situations. Are you breathing?
I'm not breathing. Thank you for catching that.
Okay.
That's right. Okay, I wrote that down. So I had a thought.
And it sounds like, you know, maybe you'd like to be the one who has Christmas Day rather than Dad or grandmother, and you avoid that. So it might be a good mind shift to work on. It's safe for me to ask for what I want.
Well,
and
I did
okay
ask
people,
for that.
It's okay if people say no.
Yeah, that's what I got was a no. I actually got a no and actually was told to send the gifts back for last Christmas because I asked for it from one of my children. I won't say which one, just for her own protection. But anyway, I did ask, would it be possible 1 year for me to have the holiday? First, we planned ahead enough, you know, even if it was, you know, anyway, it wasn't acknowledged at all. It was like, and then it was when I went back up to take to my grandbaby, I wanted to stop by and see my daughter. And she said, she just responded that they did not have time for that and that she thought it would be fake if we exchanged gifts. So she asked me to send them back. And I sent the gifts back. I did my worksheets, as many as possible around that, and then I sent them back. And this year I asked already with her today when would be a good time for us to get together for Christmas. And she just said that she would be here traveling with her work and we could do, she was hoping we could get to do a dinner around the 8th or the 12th or something like that of December. But there wasn't any other acknowledgement other than that. So I don't know what that means.
It sounds like there's some really deep issues to be communicated about and cleaned up between you and your daughter.
I think so, too. I offered to go to what you talk therapy. And anyway, I think it's wonderful that you and Jeannie are coming to stay with me because they do know that you're coming to stay with me. And that's good. They have my son especially requested that I not share anything with him or his family about the work, whatever I was doing. And my daughter, if I start to talk about it, she redirects the conversation to something else. And so that's the out picture of my mind, and I take total responsibility that I really understand that at some level that is in my carbon-based memory, the lack of acknowledgement or communication or connection. So, you know, more shall be revealed, and I am willing to do my work around it. I can see it resonates sadness.
So then it's safe and healing for me to embrace my sadness, my grief, and my loss around relationship with my daughter. And as you're able to embrace that and dissolve that, then another level of connectedness will open.
It's safe and healing for me to
embrace my sadness, grief, and loss.
Thank goodness you can remember. I could call back and listen again, though. That is
around
great.
Relationship
okay.
with my daughter. Around relationship with my daughter, my son, my grandbabies. And I acknowledge your courage for what you're stepping into and what you're just moving step by step and cleaning up in your life is very powerful.
Thank you. Yes, I'm grateful. I love the worksheet so much. It's one of my favorite tools of all the tools that we do. I keep them with me all the time. They're here with me now. There's 100 front and back already in my secretary ready, and there's probably 50 in the chest of drawer. I can't imagine not having them already printed and ready to go. I mean, I know, I tell people, I know that you think I should maybe save paper, but I promise you, if I can hold the presence of love long enough, I'll grow you a tree.
There you go.
That's the way I feel. I really think the trees will grow in the presence of love. So, anyway, I thank you all. I'm just, Blockage of Truth is where my work is, and I'm willing, and I will pass some of this on to my class because they were wanting to know if I was going to give them mind shifters based on the new evaluation or if I was going to give them mind shifters based on the work that we did in class. Do you have any feedback for me?
Well, of course, with the evaluation feedback that we give them on Monday, they'll see where their next level of work is, and so there's a mind shift that'll go around along with each of their new challenges. So we'll see where their challenges are, and so they'll have a whole new set to work with, yeah.
So will they have it to work with that day? It sounds like to give them a mind shifter before they breathe on Monday. So my question is, do I give them one based on what I'm seeing now, or do I just give them one based on what I feel led to based on the class that we...
Because of the time limitation that we're going to have on Monday, you know, we'll just have a short time. We don't have a whole day. Then I would go ahead and give them mind shifters to do, maybe just do the numbers and get them to pick numbers and have them write it before Monday night.
Okay, I will do. We're planning a potluck. I wondered if that was okay with you and Jeannie.
Wonderful. Sure, that's great.
And it's all raw.
Fabulous.
So, and Susan?
I'm excited. Yes, ma'am.
Angela's in the chat room, and she said all the conversation that you were having about truth and everything, that all of that resonated with her. And the mind shifter that Michael just gave you, she said, is a great mind shifter for her, too, and to thank you for your contribution to her healing process.
Oh, Angela, you're most welcome. Thank you for being here and joining the team, because the more we have, the stronger the love. Fabulous. I'm grateful. Thank you. Maybe I'll get to meet you someday at Heartland. That'd be great.
Hey.
Yes.
Well, and you know, maybe especially, you know, you're talking about mom issues right now, and of course Jeannie's going to be doing a 9-day healing the whole woman workshop in April in Florida, and maybe that would be a place for you ladies to meet and to approach this next level of healing specifically geared to women's issues. So that's what that's going to be about in April, and of course the when we finish when Jeannie finishes her healing the whole woman, and I finish my concurrent, why is this happening to me again? Then we'll be doing 3 days of the interpretation of the evaluation before we actually go into the teacher training. So anyway, you might just look at that and put it in the hopper if it's appropriate.
Well, I'll tell you, I had chills when you were started to talk about that, and I asked Holy Spirit years and years ago that when truth was being spoken to give me chills so that I wouldn't miss it. It's been very helpful in my lifetime. So when I get chills, I definitely sit up straight and pay attention. So I think you have a great goal that's been framed there, and I just need to look at how I can set that. Great.
Awesome.
Thank you, Michael. Awesome. That's wonderful.
Yay.
Yes. I'll see
and,
you soon.
All right. When willing people come together, it definitely makes a difference. And we'll be getting on the road sometime tomorrow. We'll communicate with you, and for anybody who's listening to the show that's in the Wilmington, North Carolina area, we're going to be staying with Susan starting tomorrow and be starting a week of workshops on Saturday. Sunday. We'll be doing Why Is This Happening to Me Again Sunday afternoon after the service at Unity there in Wilmington. Monday night, we're kind of exclusively tied in with doing a Still Point session with the Laws of Living class, and giving them feedback on their evaluations, having completed Laws of Living. And then Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, there'll be a series of free workshops at Unity of Wilmington. Saturday, of course, we'll be doing Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing, the one workshop that we do charge a fee for when we travel. And then on Sunday, we'll be doing the service again at Unity before we head off to Florida. So we're looking forward to being with you, Susan. Blessings. Thanks for hosting us.
Thank you. I'm grateful to have you come, and I love both of you, and I'm so excited. Everyone here is so excited, so we'll see you soon.
All right, see you then. Get everybody inviting everyone to be there Sunday afternoon for Why Is This Happening to Me Again. Let's
they
get just
you.
A huge community of people together and expand that community of support and throughout the whole area.
I will do. I'm just thinking about this Giving Gathering. They're all my friends. I'm going to say I want to see you there Sunday morning. I love them into it. Okay.
On our way here to Bristol last week, we made a stop. You know, we finished the intensive in Pinckney. And then there's a 93-year-old woman in Yellow Springs, Ohio, Billy Eastman. And actually, one of the first times I traveled out of Florida back almost 30 years ago, Billy was invited to that workshop in Lansing, interestingly enough. And because it was an all-day Mind Shifters and Still Play Breathing workshop, and the woman who was hosting it knew Billy and invited her to come, and that's 30 years ago, so Billy was, let's see, she's now 93, so she was 62. And she said, oh, you know, it's too far to drive. I'm not going to drive all that way for a one-day workshop. And about 3 in the morning, she had a voice wake her up from a dream and say, get up and go to that workshop. And she drove to Lansing the next morning and did the Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. It was her first introduction to the work. And she was just so excited about it that she asked if she were to be able to get somebody with a private plane to pick me up and take me to Yellow Springs, would I do a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop the next Friday night? And I said, well, I don't have anything scheduled, so yes, I will. I had a Sunday scheduled, but I didn't have anything scheduled for Friday. This woman had a private plane pick me up in Lansing, fly me to Yellow Springs. We were actually at Antioch College, and she had 100 people for a Why workshop. Single-handedly had 100 people there. And the work has flourished in Yellow Springs ever since. So we on our way back, Billy is now 93, and she still does a Course in Miracles every week. And so Sunday afternoon, we got to do her Course in Miracles class in Yellow Springs and stop and spend the night with her. Just an awesome young lady, absolutely amazing. When we left, she was on the computer writing a letter to the editor about something that was going on in the area that was happening in politics that was unjust. She was about straightening it up. So, you know, pretty awesome lady. It's amazing what folks already can do.
Yes.
All right, well, you have a blessed day, and enjoy your dinner with your friend there, and we'll see you tomorrow. Blessings.
Okay. Thank you. You too. Take care.
Awesome. And we do have two callers, and we're down to about 11 minutes. The first one is 417, somebody from Missouri, I'm assuming, and happy Thanksgiving. Who do we have?
It's me. It's Joanna.
Well, hey, young lady,
Jeannie.
Welcome.
Well,
welcome.
I have...
Say hello, and happy Thanksgiving to Branson for us.
Good, good. And have a wonderful house guest on the phone who you met this morning. Her name is Christy. And we're going into Christmas here. And you were just addressing an issue that she and I have been talking about Christmas and family get-togethers and mothers and daughters and the time that we're going into pure love. Pure love. And I'm going to be just really straightforward. When you're dealing with family, you're frequently dealing with a deep anger issues. And you carry them and you cover it up and you hide it. And This lady was talking about anger with her mother, I think. I wasn't listening that close. But to be angry with your mother is something that you need to look at that overlaps a lot of issues. And I know we don't have much time, but I would like to introduce her to the work of why you keep having broken relationships and have lost some of part of yourself, and to get from anger to love, and just a can you give me a short introduction to that?
Well,
a short introduction, Michael.
My take would be that the first key to staying out of that whole circumstance is to never fall in love in the first place. And if you don't do that, then you're never going to have that problem. Of course, that just raises all kinds of hackles for people. But the truth is that we are love. Love isn't something that we do. But when we're cut off from the truth of who we are, and as you know, Joanna, the way that we introduce human life is just ask people to imagine holding a newborn. And when you hold a newborn, if you tap into the essence of that newborn, you have a direct experience of a human life. You have a direct experience of who you are. And so what happens is we come in as that active presence of love, and because it's a cultural and a family tradition to destroy love, to destroy human life with hostility and fear, then we are cut off from the truth of who we are as love, and then we're told that we're supposed to love one another. And that's a total fraud. If you try to love someone, then you'll be, as that song put out there a few decades ago, looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces. And when we're looking for mom to love us, for dad to love us, for sister, for brother, for children to love us, we're looking for that because we've lost the essence of who we are. And so what happens is we try to conform to their demands so they will approve of us, and we buy into the world's cheap copy of love, which is approval. And, of course, the approval game works well as long as you're doing everything that fulfills this person's goals for you. But you'll notice the minute you stop fulfilling their goals, if you're living in this looking for love in all the wrong places, the minute you stop fulfilling someone's goals, they'll tend to dump their whole bag of garbage on you, and what appears to be love will turn to hate and rage and guilt and fear. And what's happened there is that we've forgotten who we are. We've stopped functioning out of who we are, and so we play this approval game. And of course, then we fall in love with someone, they fall in love with us. That is, we have matching bags of approval, and all goes well until our matching bags of garbage come up, and we dump that garbage on each other. As opposed to, I recognize that I am love. It's not something for me to fall into. It's something for me to function out of. What we call the non-being mind, which is what passes for human life in our culture, cannot love. It's not possible for the non-being mind, the mind based in hostility or fear, to love. All it can do is, if you match my goals, I approve of you, and I call that loving you. If you stop matching my goals, I disapprove of you, and now I call that dumping my garbage on you. And so when we recognize that forgiveness is the key and the solution to the dilemma, and that doesn't mean that we let this person off the hook who did this terrible thing or stopped fulfilling our goals for us. It doesn't mean we forgive our parents because they were in hostility or fear. It doesn't mean we forgive a brother or a sister. It doesn't mean anything other than if I think about going to the family gathering and what starts to come up in me is fear and terror, then I apply forgiveness to my fear and terror to free myself of the generational pattern of fear and terror. If I go to the family gathering and what comes up is rage. Then I look at my power person's rage, I apply forgiveness to my copy of that rage, and I free myself from rage. If I go to the family gathering and what I'm in is sadness and loss, because there's a part of me that knew that I was love and was to be acknowledged as love, and I should have been acknowledging my brothers and my sisters and my mother and father as love, but we had all these bags of garbage and it all became so confused. It's not about forgiving them for what they've done. It's about if I have confusion, I apply the forgiveness worksheet to reality management to my confusion, to my rage, to my guilt, to my fear, to all the bags of garbage that were passed on to me as a family tradition. And then when I recognize that love has nothing to do with them, it's a state that I maintain, then I do my work to free myself. I do the forgiveness work to free myself of that, which takes me out of love. And then I can choose to be in those relationships and function as love, which means I'm going to bring healing into those situations. And until I can start to let loose of those things, I tend to think that love is based in approval. Love is based in them doing something for me, me doing something for them, and the whole thing becomes confused. And so what we're looking to do is to support people really, truly applying the forgiveness process and removing the generational pattern of all hostility and fear until we return back to the truth of who we are, which is that awesome active presence of love that we're designed to function out of 24/7, 365. But if we're given false premises from which to reason, i.e., I'm supposed to love them, they're supposed to love me, then I cannot reason correctly. And that becomes, or has become, a family tradition. It's been going on forever. And as you begin to forgive and change that game, then everything tends to come up differently. And well, there's some interesting research that was done at Emory University. And what they did is that they would tie down a mouse. And as they would tie down the mouse, they would bring the smell of a cherry blossom to the mouse's nose. And they would torture the mouse with electric shock. I wouldn't want to be the researcher that does this research, but this is one of our great educational institutions, Emory University. So they torture the mouse with an electric shock when the mouse smells a cherry blossom. Then they encourage the mouse to reproduce. They take the offspring of that mouse, who obviously has never smelled a cherry blossom before, as its ancestor probably had not, and they tie it down and they bring cherry blossom to their nose. And the mouse goes into the same terror as its parent did. And then that second generation of mice has offspring, and the third generation has the same terror at the smell of a cherry blossom. They sacrifice all three generations of mice and find epigenetic changes in their genes, in the area of genes responsible for smell, and in the brain. Literal physical changes in the structure of the brain that has to do with smell in all three generations. How long is the hostility in prayer? Remember that song a few years ago? How long has this been going on? And somebody has to say, I'm ready to forgive. And because we're down to just a few seconds left, we're going to have to close the show out and say thank you for calling. And maybe we can continue this conversation. Well, actually, tomorrow is Aramaic Fridays, but it'll probably fit in too. But let's continue the conversation and take it to the next level. In the meantime, everybody have a wondrous, happy, holy day and create the best year yet of eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give. And bring a stranger with us to the show tomorrow. Aramaic Fridays. Bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the Internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.